You're listening to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello and welcome to AHDB's Food and Farming podcast. I'm Bryony Ennis, Knowledge Transfer Manager for Beef and Lamb, and today I'm joined by Fiona Lovett and Claire Wise to talk about lambing 2022 and in particular watery mouth in lambs. Hi Fiona, for those that don't know you already, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your business?
Hi Bryony, yes, so I'm an independent sheep vet. I live up in the northeast of England and I probably spend most of my time talking with farmers, talking with vets, and I do a bit of teaching at Nottingham and some research as well. But I suppose I'm involved here because I'm chair of the Sheep Antibiotic Guardian Group.
Fantastic. And Claire, you know Fiona already, so can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you know Fiona?
Yes, I'm a beef, sheep and arable farmer from County Durham. We're lowland, 200 feet above sea level, and we have a flock of about 500 continental cross ewes, and we lamb them all indoors, and it's a fairly fast and intensive lambing. So for us, watery mouth is a real issue we have to keep on top of. And I know Fiona because when I took the business over from my father coming up 14 years ago, I decided to treble the sheep numbers, and at that point realised we needed some specialist sheep advice. And Fiona has been advisor, friend, and sometimes Samaritan all along the way to us.
Great. Fiona, can you tell us a little bit about watery mouth, the causes of it, the impact of it?
Yeah, so as a lamb is born, it's very vulnerable until it gets colostrum. And the E. coli, the bug that causes watery mouth, is just everywhere. It's on the fleece of the ewe, it's in faeces, it's in the shed. If that lamb sucks on a bit of mucky wool before it gets to teat and gets a good belly full of colostrum, then it's got a vulnerable stomach that E. coli will multiply up very rapidly. And that's where we see floppy lambs, the dribbling down the mouth is because of an over multiplication of E. coli within the stomach of an naive or susceptible lamb.
And Claire, from your perspective, over the past few years, what impact has watery mouth had on your flock? And, you know, has it changed your approach to your flock management?
Yeah, I mean, we set out, it'd be 5 years ago now, we set out to try to remove antibiotic usage for watery mouth. So we've really, really been going down this pathway quite hard because it's something no farmer needs. You know, you get a live lamb out, everything's looking great. And it's the one thing you don't need when you think everything's going well. So we really prioritise preventative measures rather than firefighting. We disinfection. We put a lot of effort into getting the nutrition right for the ewes because, you know, if you get that colostrum right, it's not a problem you're going to really see. We did use Spectam on triplets and pet lambs up until last year, and that's not going to be an option this year. But it's something, it's very much at the forefront of our minds, but it's something we have managed to manage our way out of fairly effectively if we're very strict with what we do.
So in terms of that nutrition that you mentioned, what kind of things are you looking at when you're thinking about nutrition, and how far in advance are you planning that for the colostrum?
Well, Fiona does our nutrition for us. I mean, the first thing we do is we make sure we have all the forage tested, and then we TMR, we total mix ration our sheep. So they get a mixture of silage, barley, it's beans this year, minerals. We have had molasses in there in the past. Fiona will be able to tell you more about how she works it all out, but we make sure that from 6 weeks before lambing, every ewe is meeting its energy targets, and then from 2 weeks before lambing, that's ramped up even further, so that protein content in that colostrum is really epic. Because if you can keep your ewes in good condition, you're gonna have good colostrum. You should have lambs that get up and away easily, and you are gonna in the end save money on feed because they're gonna go out in better condition, and you're not gonna be firefighting once you turn these sheep out.
Yeah, Fiona, is there anything that you would like to add to that?
Yeah, so we've been doing more and more diets in the last 5-10 years, and it's what's we always concentrate on what's going on in the rumen. So the most important thing for a sheep is that it is a ruminant and we're feeding the rumen. So we always work on balancing any energy and protein in the rumen. And then we have this complicated spreadsheet to make sure we get the right balance compared to the forage. So some years we have a really good forage, good protein levels, and we can go a bit lighter on the beans or whatever the protein content is. In a poorer year for forage, then we really have to concentrate on the protein levels later on. So energy is the most important, but it's quite easy to boost the energy. As far in terms of colostrum, protein's where you want to concentrate.
So in terms of that energy, Fiona, you've talked before about metabolic testing. Can you explain a bit more about that?
Yes, so from my point of view, I've put a lot of work into making sure the ration is right and what goes into the ewes is correct. If often we haven't had the benefit of that, I mean, if a vet arrives at a farm and there hasn't been a lot of concentration on the diet and the quality of the forage, then we can do something later on and test the ewes to check that their energy and protein levels are suitable. So that could be 3 to 4 weeks before lambing, a blood sample from the ewes, and we can check beta hydroxybutyrate, which looks at energy levels and would check for evidence that they're maybe slipping towards twin lamb. And we can also look at protein supply. Although I have to say, from my point of view, I'm happier making sure I've got the ration right, because once we get to 3 weeks before lambing, we don't want to find we've got problems then. We sort of wanted to have done something before then. But it's a brilliant thing to do to make sure everything's right. But I like to know everything's right a bit before that, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think as a farmer, the most important thing you can do is go and put your hand on the back of the ewe. You know, the simplest thing is to know the body condition score of your ewes. You know what your ewes are, and it you know, my ewes tend to run a little bit fitter because they're continentals, but I'll put my hand on the back of my ewe 2 months before lambing and I know if they've slipped a bit. And I think every farmer out there, you will know if your ewes are where you want them to be or if they're slipping a bit. And I think this year, when we don't have an arsenal of drugs for watery mouth, and also with feed prices the way they are and lamb milk prices the way they are, I think we all need to be perhaps a little bit more on it and making sure that we don't leave it too long to keep those ewes in condition. You know, don't let them slip back this year. Put your hand on the back and make sure they're where you would like them to be going into this lambing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Claire.
Bryony, last year we did a lot of colostrum sampling in Wales. We took nearly 1,300 ewe samples and were able to analyse those. So that was from 64 different farms. And the key driver to better colostrum quality, it was on a farm level, and we tied that back. We got ration information from a lot of those farms. And what was really interesting is protein levels in the forage was very significant. Feed face for the ewes and body condition score. So ewes that were less than body condition score 2 or less at lambing, which is obviously thin, had poorer colostrum than the rest of the ewes. It's sort of what we'd expected, but we actually got the data last year to prove that.
Yeah, so that really highlights the importance, like you say, of that nutrition and the condition.
Yeah, and that allows you know, we separate out our thin ewes and we separate out our triplets, because also from a watery mouth management point of view, you know, those are the ones that might not be getting the quality of colostrum or the amount of colostrum you'd ideally like them to. So from a farmer's point of view, if you can keep your potential problems separate going into lambing, firstly, hopefully you can manage out of it with nutrition. And if you can't, at least for your sanity, you're not searching around the shed wondering what's going on. You know the ones you've got to keep a closer eye on.
You've both touched on quality and quantity of colostrum. Can you just outline, you know, in a number, what should somebody be aiming for in terms of quality?
Well, we've had a lot of people using the Brix refractometer. So that's a really simple handheld piece of kit. You can buy them on the internet for about 30 quid each, and it's just a drop of colostrum on there. And you can read it off. The work we did last year showed that we would like a ewe to have colostrum above 26.5% on that scale, which most ewes, it's hard to read the scale because they're off the top. So most ewes' colostrum, assuming their good body condition score, they're well fed, it's phenomenal. It's such a good product that the ewe has produced herself, basically.
Okay, great. And from your perspective, Claire, is there anything else that you do? You mentioned that you'd separate those ewes before lambing, anything that you might expect to maybe not have as good colostrum as you'd like. Is there anything else that you do to sort of prepare, or in a reactive way, if a ewe doesn't have that top quality colostrum?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think the number one thing from my management point of view is don't leave it too long. You know, if that lamb hasn't got a full belly of colostrum within the first hour, then I'm doing something about it. I'm not leaving it longer than that. I mean, obviously, overnight, I'm not there constantly, but as best as you can, don't leave it too long. We're using pooled cow colostrum this year. I also have bagged if I need it there as a backup. Just make sure you have everything on hand to go in. And I just think don't be shy about it, because, you know, you will ultimately save money if you have a healthy, fast growing lamb that gets off the farm sooner. So just don't be shy about putting a little bit of colostrum into a lamb early doors, because at the end of the day, it is going to make it happen a lot faster. So I tend to just always have something, a backup on hand, and give it out quickly. Don't hang about.
And do you ever store any colostrum from any of your ewes to use later in the season?
I don't, because my failing in our flock is milk. Everything we don't have are gallons and gallons of milk, and that's something that I'm genetically trying to address. So that's why this year I'm having to look at pooling cow colostrum as a backup. Ask me 3 years from now, and I hope I've done a better job with the genetics and we have a bit more milk on the ewes. But I mean, I know people will laugh at this, but I buy breast milk freezing bags off Amazon. Other retailers are available. They're cheapest. They're cheapest chips, and it allows you to freeze 100 mils, 150 mils, what, like a one lamb portion of colostrum, freeze it, and then you can stick it in a hot mug and it's defrosted within about 10 minutes. So that's the sort of thing that I have hanging around that makes my life easier, and it's a lot quicker, and it just takes the hassle out of the job.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good tip, actually. Fiona, do you see much on any of your clients' farms, any really good practical tips?
Yes. So once people have, if you've got a ewe and you think you've got a bit extra here, then it's worth testing it, making sure she has actually got good quality colostrum. And then farmers are always amazed at how easy it is to get colostrum off for you using a little milking machine. So they are a bit expensive, but it's absolutely well worth the investment. And you could pull off quite a decent amount of colostrum, and then it will keep in the fridge for up to a week. So at a busy lambing time, actually, as long as you've got some sort of stock rotation going on, you know when you put it in the fridge and make sure it's in clean containers. The breast milk sachets is a ingenious idea. So as long as farmers can be brave enough to click the link and buy their breast milk containers, that is really good. You don't want to be freezing it in large quantities, because they're going to have a trouble defrosting it and regularly enough. And you definitely don't want to be putting it in the microwave or heating it too much, because you will denature the proteins. So in a little sachet that you can put in a mug of water, as Claire suggests, it absolutely fantastic. But bear in mind, you could have had it in the fridge for up to a week, so you don't necessarily have to freeze when you're right in the middle of lambing.
And another practical tip, I mean, I'm not wandering around, hand bottling, loving every lamb when, you know, if I've had 60 ewes lamb in a day, there are nights where I just take a jug of colostrum and a stomach tube and I'll pop round and I'll just top up lambs that way, because it's quick, it's easy, keep it hygienic. You know, this doesn't have to be a time consuming exercise for you either. Once you get in that routine of just knowing that, you know, for example, I've had 6 triplets born this afternoon, they're probably going to want to top up. Right, let's have a quick session, getting a bit extra in. You know, it doesn't have to be time consuming, and the benefits are massive. Because to put it in perspective, you know, we had about 750 lambs last year, and I can count on one hand the number that died of watery mouth. So it's very, very doable if you keep on top of things.
That's great. Thanks, Claire. So, Claire, you touched on Spectam and that you haven't used Spectam for a couple of years now. Recently, Spectam has been delisted, and that was the only oral antibiotic licence for the prevention of watery mouth. From what we've talked about today, the importance of the nutrition, body condition score, and really focusing on that colostrum, for those farmers that do all of those things, Fiona, is the loss of Spectam something to worry about?
So we have been working really hard over the last 5 years to help people to not be relying on antibiotic use, and we have made a steady and measured reduction. So it would have been nice to have continued doing stuff in a steady way and kind of holding people's hands. We don't have that option now. It is not available. So it means that forces people to use the other things that we've been talking about, which actually are far, far better for the health of the lamb, for the whole flock, for onwards going. It's much, much better not to be using preventative antibiotics. Absolutely. And that's the place we wanted to get to. It would have been easier if we could have done it gradually and helped people get the confidence that they don't need the antibiotic, which is where it has worked on all those farms that have made those changes in the last few years. I am worried about the situation because we have a huge number of sheep farmers, and people are in different places, and vets are in different places about what to do, and lambing is such a high stress time of year. So I'm worried from the point of view of lamb welfare, and I'm worried from the point of view of shepherd mental health, that so many people have unfortunately felt they had to rely on antibiotics up to now. So absolutely, there's loads of things you can do, and colostrum is the most important. There will still be people who feel they're doing as much as they can and they still have a disease problem, and they need to be working closely with their vets to look at alternative strategies. So it is possible on a case-by-case basis for vets to prescribe other antibiotics on the cascade, but it must be on a case-by-case basis, and it is a last resort. So all the things we've talked about, good nutrition and colostrum, are by far the most important, and the thing that will cause you the most success in your flock. That's the right place to be. But when a disease situation occurs and you have to do something that involves an antibiotic, your vets are there and they have got clear guidance that we produced in conjunction with the Sheep Vet Society back in December to help vets navigate how they could support their farmers. So vets are really well supported with the different options, but they need to discuss it on a case-by-case basis with farmers who clearly have problems.
I mean, I think it's fair to say, I mean, we have used Spectam in the last few years, you know, when needed, because quite often towards the tail end of lambing with us, we find that, you know, triplets, weaker lambs, we have used it. We're going cold turkey the same as everybody else. And I think what's really, really important is that this year is going to be a year of progress and probably not perfection. I mean, I'm accepting we might lose a few more lambs. I hope we don't. And I won't hesitate to use something if needed. But I think we have a lot of pressure on us as an industry as a whole at the moment. I think just everybody needs to not panic about the loss of them. There are ways to make everything better, but you know, just progress, not perfection. And we, you know, as an industry, we'll have to just try our best to navigate our way through it this year.
Okay, so in terms of cow colostrum, it's lower in both protein and energy than sheep colostrum, but it's actually really good for immunoglobulins. So cow colostrum's good. There are a few cows, individuals, who contain an anti-sheep antibody within their colostrum. So if you happen to be unlucky and chose one cow that had that factor, you end up with hemolytic anemia in your lambs. So for that reason, and we used to be able to test for that factor, I just checked last week with SAC, unfortunately that test is no longer commercially available as far as I know, which means what Claire said about using pool colostrum is ideal, because if you pool a number of different cows' colostrum, you're going to have diluted that anti-sheep factor and it won't be a problem. So in general, in the vast majority of cases, I would turn to cow colostrum. Just do make sure if you go to a dairy farm, you want to get as colostrum as early as possible off a dairy cow. So sometimes they'll count it as colostrum. It could be 3 days old. That to me is not the best. You want to get it as early as possible, but store it the same in small packets in the freezer or the fridge for up to a week, as you do for sheep colostrum. And it's a better alternative. And quite honestly, I would use that before I turn to the powders.
Just on that, Fiona, in terms of the quality, are we looking for the same measure of quality in the cow's colostrum to sheep's colostrum, or is it different?
Well, ironically, although cow's colostrum is higher in immunoglobulins because of the lower protein content, we can go for a lower Brix percentage. So whereas for a ewe, you want the Brix percentage to be 26.5, for a cow, it can be as low as 22 or even lower. You will still get enough, you'll still get decent immunoglobulins. So just bear in mind the fat is lower, so the energy is less. So if you're an outside lamber and one of your prime reasons for colostrum is to keep those lambs with sufficient energy in bad weather, then you do need to give a bit extra on energy levels for cattle colostrum.
That's a really good tip. A final point on that, when looking for a farm to get cow's colostrum from, is that it's always worth ensuring that the herd are testing for Yoni's disease and that they are a low risk herd, as this will reduce the risk of transmission of disease to your sheep flock. We touched a bit on hygiene earlier. Is there anything in terms of hygiene that indoor and outdoor lammers might need to think about? You know, very different systems. Do either of you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, well, we disinfect all our pens. Having an arable unit here as well, we're lucky to have plenty of straw, so we try and keep everything really clean and dry. We physically can't muck out pens. I know a lot of people muck out pens in between ewes, and I think if you can do that, that's brilliant. We are just labour short, and we don't. So we thoroughly disinfect. We try and keep everything dry. And then I also try to physically move the pens after they've had a couple of ewes through them to try to minimise the load in those pens. But I just think trying to keep everything as clean as you can is the best way for an indoor flock, as we are, that we manage it.
Yeah, attention to detail is just so absolutely key. So instead of thinking dirty farmyard, you have to think this is a labour ward, and you cannot be stringent enough with your hygiene. So whether that's your stomach tubes or the teats or the rings you use. So I would be very, very liberal with disinfection and spirit. We know that there are other issues that happen around lambing time, like joint till. And in that case, it is absolute attention to detail for wearing gloves, cleanliness, disinfection is really, really important. If you're an outside lammer, the risk of infection is obviously much lower. The risk of hypothermia and starvation is increased. I spoke to a shepherd the other day who said both he and his father always had a thermos flask of cow colostrum that they have in their pocket all day long at the right temperature to top up lambs as they're out there. You've just got to use different strategies, but still be as clean as you possibly can.
I mean, personally, I think farmers should be opening a dialogue with their vets now about what happens if they get a problem, so that they know what they can do, because the last thing you want to do when you're tired and stressed and in the middle of lambing is to be trying to firefight with solutions. So, you know, in the hope that you don't need them, it might be worth having the conversation with your vet now as to, let's hope everything goes fine, but if it doesn't, what can we do, so that you can make the best possible decision and not revert back to blanket treatments.
There is a lot of support out there. So there's the support from the Sheep Vet Society for vets, and the vets are there for the farmers. So if you don't feel you have someone to turn to, then try, you know, push a bit further. If your vet hasn't necessarily seen the guidance, then please direct them towards Sheep Vet Society. So there's clear guidance out there for vets, and would like to think that every sheep farmer can turn to a vet who's supportive. So we talked about quality of colostrum. Quantity is important as well, and that's partly also to do with nutrition, making sure the ewe's producing enough colostrum for each of the lambs. But the other key importance is that it's getting into the lambs. So we talked about that indirectly, but actually we can have the best quality if the lamb hasn't sucked and it hasn't got to where it needs to as quickly as possible. So within that early stage, that passive transfer into the lambs is the most important thing.
it's the timing, isn't it? I think traditionally we've always thought it's okay to leave lambs for 3 or 4 hours and just, you know, keep checking back that they've sucked. But reality, your window's actually much smaller than that, isn't it, Fiona, to get that colostrum in?
The quality of the ewe's colostrum is declining from the point of birth for the next 36 hours. It will be on a steady decline. And the ability of the lamb to absorb that colostrum is also declining. So that first 2 to 6 hours after lambing is the best time. You've got up to 24 at your maximum, but bear in mind at 24 hours, the lamb's gut is less able to absorb than it could, 18, 20 hours earlier. So it is a case of as soon as possible.
In terms of colostrum resources, obviously February is Colostrum is Gold Month, which is an industry initiative. There's lots of helpful videos and stuff. So I guess, Fiona, you're very aware of it, but I guess it's just about spreading the word. And if anybody needs any guidance or looking for information about colostrum, there's plenty online. And as you said, just ask your vet and they'll be able to point you in the right direction.
But I think that's really important for farmers, though, is if you do go to your vet and you don't get the answer that you feel solves the problem, don't be afraid to go further afield to look for a bit extra advice as well, because everybody in the industry wants the same thing, which is we want the lambs to thrive, and we really want the industry ideally to reduce antibiotic usage in a way that's safe for the livestock, but also safe for the mental health of everybody that's working in the industry. So the only good thing to come out of all of this is that we all want the same thing, which is we want to get through this lambing well, if we can. And we can all try and help anybody that wants a bit of help and support to get through it.
Thank you both for your time today. It's been really great to hear how you're both getting on, and some of those tips that we've talked about I think are really invaluable. So for anybody listening, if you would like any more information on colostrum, ewe nutrition, body condition scoring, or anything else that we've chatted about today, please visit the AHDB website, where you will find all of our information, tools and resources. I'm Bryony Ennis. Thank you for listening.
Spring 2022 is your opportunity to vote to have your say about the future direction of AHDB. For more information, you can email shapethefuture@ahdb.org.uk or visit the AHDB website, ahdb.org.uk.